We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. That's a common term, isn't it? I like it a lot better than unwanted pregnancy. Now, it's true that there's some pregnancies that are unwanted, although no children are left unwanted by God or by others. Sadly, there are many men, women who don't want the children. But how do you deal with an unplanned pregnancy, especially in a culture, in a world where almost the first resort, not the last resort, the first resort, is abortion? Heather Roush joins us. She's a married mother of three in Garrison, Minnesota, and author of an article in the latest Life Date newsletter titled My Real Life, Bella. She joins us to talk about dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. Heather, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What was the first thing that went through your mind when you discovered yourself pregnant out of wedlock?
Now what? I was real scared and very ashamed of myself, and almost just embarrassed. Like, what? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do now? How am I going to explain this one to everybody? That was really the first thing. You know, I think as a teenager, you really don't have a sense of what you're in for initially. You're just, you know, you're kind of in that selfish phase already, thinking about how this is going to impact you. And that was the first thing I thought of. You know, what am I going to do now?
What was your biggest fear?
Oh, wow. Telling my parents. Letting my parents and my family know. You know, the judgment that would come from that. You know, I'd always kind of been a good kid. And so, kind of coming to my parents or to my family and publicly having to come forth and say, you know, I messed up here. That was my biggest fear, most certainly.
Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
You know what? It wasn't. And that is one of the things that I try to, you know, let people know in all circumstances, you know, with, even with my own kids, is, you know, when you make a mistake, you've got to admit to it. However, the repercussions of it very usually are not as bad as you think it's going to be because, you know, people have been there. People have made mistakes. I mean, all of us have. And if, you know, there's love and compassion on the other side, you know, of the situation, you know, I was greeted with just disappointment for sure, but certainly love and compassion and support. Absolutely.
So how did you break it to them? I mean, this is the kind of thing that I think every parent from a dad's side thinks, I really don't want to hear this, but maybe I will. And certainly teenage girls or teenage boys say, I'd never want to have to break that news. But how did you do it with them?
You know what? I took a day, and actually, it's funny. I was going to college down in southern Wisconsin, and the day after I found out I was pregnant, I was supposed to be driving to Ohio to meet up with my two sisters and my mom. And my sisters are older than I am. They have families over there. And so we were all going to have kind of a girls' weekend and get together. So I had a whole car ride, you know, 8 hours or something, on the way over to Ohio to think about how I was going to break it to them. I got there, and I had this whole spiel planned of how I was going to handle this. And, you know, I went out there, and I looked at my mom, and I just started crying, and I just told her, I'm pregnant. And, you know, one of my sisters actually, you know, kind of smirked at me. And kind of giggled a little bit, just like, I don't think she really knew how to take it. And my mom was just like, oh, wow, Heather, what are we going to do with you? And then after the initial shock, it was just, well, how are we going to handle this? What are you going to do? And we were able to really have a good conversation about what was happening in my life at the time. you know, that being said, when I talked to my dad kind of did the same thing. It was at a different time, obviously, than when I was with my mom and my sisters. There was disappointment there, but at the same time, there was just a, you know, a father's love and compassion that, you know, I was, it really comforted me. And he just told me, whatever you need, I'm here. And my mom too, whatever you need, we're here. And that was the wonderful thing. And I think one of the reasons why it makes it so much easier for me to be open with my story is because I've really never been greeted with, a terrible amount of judgment. You know, I've never really been looked down upon, from my family. And, you know, those are the people that you depend on. You know, without them, you really are lost in the world, especially as a teenager. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it. There was disappointment there, but they were wonderful, a wonderful support throughout the whole thing.
Were you ever tempted to consider abortion in this?
Absolutely. And that was actually, initially I hadn't thought of that at all. And when I broke it to my boyfriend at the time, it was one of the first things that came out of his mouth. When we sat down with his parents, that was the first thing that they said. Well, you have to have an abortion. You're going to ruin your life. That was a really hard thing to hear for me. And it left me very confused. As I wrote in my article, it's very hard as a child to hear an adult tell you to do something that you know is wrong, and yet you feel like you're bound to them, you know, to honor your parents. I mean, I grew up, honor your parents, respect your parents. They know, you know, we know what's best for you. So although my own parents didn't bring it up, my boyfriend's parents brought it up and essentially assumed that that's what the route that I would take. After leaving their house that day, after letting them know and breaking it to them, I just felt very burdened, very much, you know, like just confused about whether or not this was what I needed to do. You know, was it selfish of me, you know, to keep this child? There were many other people who this child would impact in her life. And was it fair of me to put those people in that position unwittingly? And of course, certainly, you know, you think of the repercussions going into, you know, having this child as far as where my future was going to go, you know, how my life was going to change. And they were very, very clear as to, you know, the assumptions that they had already come to as to where my life would lead. Should I not have an abortion? Should I have this child? And that was a lot to think about. I left there really, really considering having an abortion because I just kind of felt like maybe I just don't understand this. I just don't see the big picture. And they're the adults here. I need to trust that they know better than I do.
I've talked with women about this before, Heather, and one of the things they commonly say, that moment when someone suggests to them in the face of an unplanned pregnancy, that the smartest thing to do, usually that's the way it's put, you know, the smartest thing to do here, you may not like it, is to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Almost to a woman, they have said they left that conversation feeling very, very stupid.
Yeah, and it's amazing how you can go, you know, from the people who you love and care about telling you, you know, there is a better way. You know, we talked about adoption, which, you know, is a wonderful alternative. We talked about, you know, so many, you know, having this child and actually raising it myself, which is the route I took, obviously. You know, but we talked about so many of those, the better alternatives with my family, the people that I respected and cared about, and who supported me. And then here's, you know, all of society essentially after that, and all of my friends assumed that I would just have an abortion. And then here comes these, you know, affluent people who, you know, I don't want to, you know, put them down. At the same time, you know, they played a big part in this, and the fact that, you know, I understand where they came from, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I'm understanding where people come from when they say you're going to ruin your life, you know, if you have this child. However, that doesn't make it right. And so anyways, it's amazing to me how the pressures from people who you don't even know or necessarily care about weigh so heavily on you, because it's the majority.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side of the break. I think one of the things that especially young women so immersed in the culture today will find themselves facing is not only this notion, okay, now you've made the big mistake, and and you're stupid for that reason alone, but if you don't do the right thing now, and it's usually the right thing is abortion, you will just have gone and made two stupid mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think the pressure, the intense, was your boyfriend concurring with his parents in this, that abortion was the thing to do?
You know, it's funny. He kind of was like, well, whatever you want, you know. He really didn't have a preference one way or the other. It was really up to me, which was another thing that left me kind of stooped in the fact that, you know, I didn't have anyone else to turn to. You know, here's my partner in crime, so to speak, and he's saying, it's up to you, whatever you want to do, you know. That was hard, you know, I'm not going to lie. But, no, he really didn't have a preference, And, you know, obviously now I think he's thankful. I know he's thankful that we kept Bella, but it's definitely been a long road.
All right, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue talking with Heather Roush, a married mother of three children in Garrison, Minnesota, author of an article in the latest LifeDate newsletter titled My Real Life Bella. We're talking about dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. I want to hear from you, and of course, given the sensitive nature of our conversation, we will always take your email or your phone calls anonymously if you wish. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of April, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. More on dealing with an unplanned pregnancy with Heather Roush after this. You can call it what you like.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John McCain, Chris Dodd, Newt Gingrich, Barney Frank, George W. Bush, Dennis Kucinich, Nancy Pelosi, Bobby Jindal, Rod Blagojevich, and Senator Roland Burris. Thanks for your support.
Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. Heather Roush is our guest. You can join us as well, of course, anonymously if you feel the need. We will honor that request, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest, followed by some audio open lines. There's an ABC News Nightline debate. We'd like to play part of it for you. The subject of the debate, does Satan exist, including people like Deepak Chopra and Carlton Pearson and several others debating that subject. We'll stop and start it and get your reaction during audio open lines in about 20 minutes here. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Heather, I want to get to the end of the story here. Obviously ambivalent at this point, leaving the your boyfriend's parents' house, feeling both kind of set upon, pressured, and not very bright. I'm just trying to be honest.
No, it's not true.
How did it come then to the point where you finally said with resolve, I am not going to abort this baby. I'm going to be a mother to this baby?
You know, growing up, there was, you know, we all have favorite passages of the Bible that stick with us. And one of mine has always been Proverbs 3. And I think it's verses 5 and 6, but it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths, or direct your paths. That was constantly on my mind. And I know that was God, you know, standing there and just saying, you're alone here, or you're feeling alone here, but you're not. You know, acknowledge me because I'm going to direct your path here. Trusting him. And of course, you know, I was praying so fervently to do the right thing. I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, that I was going to make the right choice here. That is when I just knew, you know, during one of those moments, shortly after leaving my boyfriend's parents' house, when I was feeling very much like the decision was on my shoulders, I think it might have even been that night, but it was shortly thereafter that I was praying, and I just knew. I just knew that this was my child, and if I was trusting in God, knowing that his love for me was unconditional, which I knew, that I'm forgiven of my sins, which I knew, then how could I not trust in him to care for me in this situation? And that scripture, you know, I really learned so much more about that scripture as I as my journey progressed through my pregnancy, because God showed me that, you know, he valued me, and when things didn't make sense to me, when I could not, I mean, I was in a pile of a mess, and when I couldn't make any sense of how this was going to turn out good, I was trusting in him. I was just saying, you know what, God, I know that at the end of the day, you are going to make this okay, and he did.
Some quick final questions here. Yeah. Did it change your life?
Absolutely, 100%, 100%. And I think anyone who knows me will tell you that. The changes are very obvious. You know, life is not about me anymore, and it hasn't been since the day I found out I was pregnant with Bella. You know, life changed. Going through those decisions of whether or not to keep, you know, that child, you know, that was changing, and that was steering me farther and farther away from me and my desires, and more, you know, just tuning into God and his desires for my life. And yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that, for everything that I've gone through, for all the trials, for, you know, everything that comes along with this, it has not been an easy road, but I've not been alone. And I think that's the most important thing to remember when you're going through a hard situation like this, is that even when you can't comprehend how God is going to make it right, it's not up to us to comprehend that. It's just up to us to trust him.
Now you're married. Now you have not just one, but three children. How did that happen?
You know what? Matt is my husband. He's a Lutheran pastor, and we actually kind of grew up together. We didn't really know each other very well as we were growing up, but knew of each other. When I was home, after I got pregnant with Bella and decided I was going to keep her, I moved back home and decided to raise her. And so I was there, and she was about a year old when Matt took a break in between college and seminary to come home, and we met at church and, you know, lived happily ever after. We've got two wonderful children together, and, you know, Matt is just as much Isabella's father as her biological father is. He plays a huge part in her life, and we are just very blessed, very, very blessed.
Okay, I've got a daughter at home going on 18, and I'll be honest with everybody. I've rehearsed this in my mind. I think it would be stupid not to do it. I've rehearsed it in my mind. What would I say? I hope I don't have to, but what would I say? She came home one day and said, "Dad, I'm pregnant." All right, you help me, Heather. First of all, what best advice would you give to a parent when they hear that announcement there? How should they react, and what should they say? Above and beyond all things. And then a little advice for the young lady who might have to make the announcement.
Well, for the parents, first of all, I mean, even with an almost 9-year-old at home, we're already rehearsing that. You know, I think it's something that parents are constantly thinking about, you know, what if this happens? You know, like I said, my parents were so supportive and so loving to me. And I think a child in this situation is already feeling the conviction. They're already feeling the shame. What they need is some understanding, you know, a hug and just that unconditional love that says, you know, no matter what you're going through, I'm going to be here for you. That being said, I think it's also, you know, the next step after that, establishing that love is just, you know, letting them know. You know, there are many different ways to handle this other than abortion, and abortion is never an option. I think educating our kids beforehand is a really good thing, too. I certainly don't want to leave that out. I think we need to have an open communication policy in our homes. You know, be talking to them about this, because if our children are strong on the values, you know, on the Christian values and the values that I would hope, you know, our world would pick up a little more. If our kids are strong, then they're going to go out there and they're going to be, you know, teaching others to be strong as well. And I think that's crucial. But should you get faced with that, I think, you know, love and understanding is the first thing that that a parent has to implement, is that unconditional love.
And then with only about 30 seconds to the young girl who might have to make the announcement, your best piece of advice, about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. There's, you know, there are so many wonderful places available to support you and to help you in times like this. Lutherans for Life is a wonderful avenue. You know, trust those people that God has placed in your life, that they will love you and that they will support you. And you know, in spite of our mistakes, God brings wonderful, wonderful blessings, and He furthers His kingdom through us. So even at the end of the day, when we have sinned and there are shameful things to be addressed, you know, God uses those things, and He will use your mistakes to bless you and to bless others and to further His kingdom.
Heather Roush is a married mother of three in Garrison, Minnesota. She is author of an article in the latest Life Date newsletter titled My Real Life Bella. You can read this article and find a link to Heather Roush's website under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Heather, thanks for sharing your story with us on Issues Etc.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
It's a good news. I mean, it seems like bad news, but it isn't. Now, can the acts leading up to an unplanned pregnancy be huge mistakes? Of course they can. But the child is not the mistake. The child is not the mistake. Can this be born of sin? Yes, of course it can. What isn't? But the child is not sinful because of the act of the parents. The child has its own sin to bear that's covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. What would be worse? What would be more foolhardy than an unplanned pregnancy, bringing it to an end through abortion. Far more foolhardy and wrong. And it's good news, even though it sounds like it's going to ruin your life, even though it sounds like, and if you're a parent hearing it, if you're a daughter or a son who has to deliver the news, trust in the Lord. It is good news when a baby's coming into the world. We used to say it all the time, and I think we need to start believing it again, even when the baby isn't planned. Why is it good news? Is it because your life's going to get better? Not necessarily. It might make your life a great deal harder. Is it because it isn't going to inconvenience you? Yes, it will. Even the planned babies inconvenience you for about 18 to 25 years. Deal with that. It's good news because God gives the gift of life and because he's promised that no matter what the circumstances of that birth are or will be, he will continue to bless those who trust in him. He will continue to bless that gift of life. Hour two of Issues, Etc. is next. We'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morrison. Do a little audio open lines on Does Satan Exist?
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.